This is an explicit podcast meant for those over the age of 18. Any views expressed in this podcast are based solely on our own experiences. This podcast does not constitute as medical or other professional advice. Welcome to Front Porch Swingers, where we talk about sex on our terms.
We talk swinging, hot wifing, BDSM, and so much more in the hopes that we will inspire you to enjoy sex on your terms.
Enjoy the show, everybody. Hey everyone, welcome to Front Porch Swingers. I'm Brenna.
I'm Brian.
So Cassidy.com, in case you haven't heard yet, is an amazing place to meet other swingers.
Yes, it is.
Cassidy.com is not only a place to meet like-minded friends in your area, but it's also an amazing place to check out all of the kinky, fun, sexy shit going on where you live. And we highly recommend that you check out Cassidy.com as a result. For those of you who are already on Cassidy, shoot us a friend request and join our community page at Front Porch Swingers. And if you're not on Cassidy yet and you want to do all that badass stuff,
yeah, shame on you if you're not.
You can go to our website, frontporchswingers.com, and click on either of the Cassidy banners and receive 30 free days of all of the Cassidy features.
For sure, and you should do that. It's an amazing site. We have really great success with it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Even in our little ho-dunk community out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, which clearly the word is out. We have to start to figure this out a little bit. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, but it seems like we've been discovered.
We sure have. Any anonymity left is out there. We'll talk about that shortly. Yeah. A couple other quick things we want to bring your attention to. Hey, did you guys know that we have a YouTube channel?
Sure do.
Some of you sure do, because we've had a lot of subscribers, which is badass. If you're not a subscriber yet, you can get on our YouTube channel, Front Porch Swingers, and check out our videos. We are putting up a new video soon.
Yeah, very soon.
Part of our Sex on Your Terms series that is all about creating the sex life and the relationships that you want and deserve.
Absolutely.
And so we're really excited to bring you more of that kind of stuff on YouTube. Plus, you can check out our social media pages on Twitter and Instagram at FP Swingers. Those are blowing up, which is cool.
Yeah, a lot of action on Instagram, particularly when we put up like silly pictures of our date nights and stuff like that.
It's so silly. We put up our faces and we're like, oh, that's a terrible picture. Whatever, post it. And then we get like 300 likes on it. I'm like, what the fuck?
It's weird.
Just because you're so handsome.
No, that's not.
It totally is.
No, totally not. But it's a lot of fun.
It is. Yeah. And then we've been talking about this for a few weeks too, or like 10 weeks at this point.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about it again because it's awesome. Shop Front Porch Swingers is a storefront where you can get all of your sexy toy needs met. And it's all items that we personally have chosen, that we use, that we love, that we are very excited to bring to you because of the quality of the product. And we are excited to steer you in the right direction, at least in our opinion,
for sure,
for some hot sex toys. Plus, if you go to shopfromporchswingers.com and buy some shit and then use our promo code, which is FPSPOD, FPSPOD at checkout, you'll get 15% off of your order.
Yeah, for sure. Do that. We just used a bunch of toys this week.
Yeah,
it was a good time. I came out. You were in the shower. I came into the bedroom. We had a bunch of stuff laid out. I'm like, oh, we're using all of this. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I thought it would be, you know, just a very subtle hint if I just happened to have all of the sex toys I was hoping you would use on me strewn across our bedroom floor.
Yeah, we used them
and
all.
You totally got the hint because you used them on me.
Yeah, quick that way.
It was amazing.
Yeah, you leave a paddle and a dildo and something else, whatever the hell. We had the crop out. We had the flogger out. Yeah, we used it all. It was all right.
Yeah, it was great.
Good stuff. Yeah, if you leave that stuff out, I mean, I'll get to him.
Well, I'm going to do it more often then because it was great.
No, not that super quick, but I'm pretty quick that
way. No, you're quick. You're good.
Okay.
What else do we have to talk about?
Well, of course, Denver. We're coming to Denver.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming up. We're like 4 days away.
Oh,
we are getting ready to go to Denver and party it up.
I'm so excited. The only thing I'm not excited for is packing, because somehow we have to get like all of our sex toys and all of our outfits and my lingerie and at least 4 pairs of shoes in one checked bag.
It just wears me out. The shoe game wears me out.
It shouldn't, because I always look good in them.
Doesn't
You're welcome.
Matter. It just wears me out. So I'll figure it out. I'm going to do the packing. You just stay out of that whole area. I'll take care of all of that.
Does that mean I'm not getting all the shoes I want?
You just lay out your wish list and I'll do my best.
That's a really good way to go, actually.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's how it's got to be, because you just can't pack.
I really can't. I just throw shit in there.
You fold like a 7-year-old. It's a total mess.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
Yeah. You eat like you pack, like a 7-year-old.
I had a PB&J sandwich this morning with the crust cut off, and you totally gave me shit about it, yeah. Which was not cool. But
no, just saying.
Yeah. But yeah, Denver, we're really excited for. It is, like we've been talking about, exploding. Oh, and yeah.
It's great.
I'm fucking pumped.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. We have really overshot the what we anticipated getting in terms of numbers of people. So we actually called the venue. You called the venue, the place we're meeting on Friday, just to let them know, hey, we thought this was like a 10, 12, 15, 18 person deal. This could be 50 people.
I don't think we'll have 50 people on Friday. I think we'll probably have
Friday, Saturday,
probably 30-ish. But yeah. I mean, still we have a reservation for 18 to 20. Yeah, so
we're going to need to let those folks know as we get a little closer, because I don't want them to get overwhelmed.
I think it'll be fun. It's just going to be super informal. It's going to be just, a mix and mingle thing. So I don't really think it matters that we don't have, chairs for 30 people.
No, we're not all going to be sitting down at one time anyway. It'll be a good time, though. We got some very cool people that are coming from all over.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
It's so exciting.
And we have right on the heels of that, after we return from 4 days of frivolity in Denver, we've got to turn around and go to another party very close to home for us, about 2 hours away, 2.5 hours away.
Yeah, and that's getting really interesting because multiple of the party goers have found out about the podcast.
Well, let's be clear. Probably the word's gotten out that, we are local to where this event is taking place, because the event itself is not based out of our state.
It's no.
Based out of a neighboring state. This is their first event in our state, which we are super psyched about, because it's like another group coming in.
And I think it's great.
Yeah. The more the merrier, right? I mean, I say it all the time. Nobody goes to Vegas for one casino. If you build it, they will come. And the idea that another very high quality event is coming to town, I think that's going to be great for us.
Yeah, I do too. And it's interesting because as people are finding us locally, it's strange. We put our faces everywhere.
Yeah, we're not hiding.
We use our real names. We've talked multiple times about the reason that we did that. Yeah. You and I went back and forth when we started this podcast about, do we put our faces out there? Do we not put our faces out there? And the reason we decided to is because, like, we're proud of our lifestyle. We're not trying to hide. We have pride in the fact that we've been able to create a very healthy relationship based on, I mean, many things, but partially based on non-monogamy.
Yeah, 100%. There's something to be said for, people who just simply cannot do that or feel they can't do that. And I understand that. We don't have young children. We don't have children.
Right.
We're independent. We don't really give a shit what anybody else thinks and don't have to. So, and that's good news for us. So it works for us, obviously.
Right.
But again, we don't hide our faces. Obviously, our names are Brian and Brenna. Those are our real names. The one thing we didn't do, however, for the safety, security, anonymity of our play partners, is talk about where we actually live.
Right.
And although that information isn't necessarily kind of,
it's not top secret.
Yeah, it's not super, it's not like, DEFCON 5 kind of stuff. But, we don't want our friends to feel, strange about it. So,
well, and here's the real problem is my concern is that people are going to look on Cassidy and try to look through our friends list and try to figure out who we're talking about in episodes and shit like that.
Right.
And that shit already happens, and it pisses me the fuck off, because it's like we're already giving a huge part of ourselves and our experiences to our listeners, and you think that you somehow deserve more and therefore you should go hunting for that information. Please, if you guys are doing that, fucking stop it. It pisses me the fuck off.
Yeah, listen, this is, while we don't hide who we are, and we are not in any way, shape, or form embarrassed about who we are, certainly, there are some people out there who require more anonymity and privacy. And, we don't want to infringe on that. So, again, like you said, if people are interested, I get that, the curiosity, but the snooping thing is just not okay. And, we get a lot of emails a lot of times about, we think it's this person or that person. And that's not okay.
Can you confirm that it's this? It's like, no, that's not the fucking point of this podcast.
No.
And, so please don't if you're doing that.
Yeah, that's not okay in any I mean, under any circumstances, regardless of who it is.
Right.
You know, and for us, we live in a small place, a very tight community. We travel 2.5-3 hours to go out of town to go to an event, because up until, I guess it's going to, what is it, the 4th of May, that's going to be the very first event held in our town. Literally, right, in our town. So obviously it's, you know, anonymity is a big deal and privacy is a big deal. I'm really curious to see how that goes. I don't know if any of our friends, our local friends, are going to show up to that event.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's going to be very strange. So
I have something else I want to say, though, about people finding out about us locally, which is a lot of them are going back and listening to like our very first few podcasts.
Yes.
And so I've been going back and listening to our last very few podcasts. And it's really interesting because we've changed a lot since we started the podcast.
Oh, for sure.
We've changed in our perspective on things. We've changed in, you know, everything has become relative as we gain more experience and we are, you know, more educated on certain things in the lifestyle and have, you know, different, it morphs. Our entire perspective on the lifestyle has morphed.
Our point of view have changed on some things too.
And so that's really interesting because people are like going back and listening to episode, and this isn't just locally, just in general.
Right.
People are going back and listening to episode 4, 5, 6, 2 of the podcast.
Yeah.
And they're reaching out to us about certain things that we said in there. And I'm like, well, I wouldn't say that now.
Right.
And it's not as if I regret saying it or I didn't mean it at the time, but it's just that things have changed so much that I don't necessarily agree with everything that was said in the beginning, which is really interesting. It's an important lesson, both in that things change over time and that we're, you know, we're fluid people within the lifestyle in general, but also that we sometimes have to be careful about the things that we're saying on the podcast, because And I don't at this point, but I don't ever want to regret anything that we say on here.
Well, I don't regret any of it either. What we said was 100% true in our, you know, from our perspective, you know, our perception of things. And, you know, I think that we could have been a little bit more careful about how we phrase things or structure things, maybe. But the truth of the matter is, I don't regret any of it either. And as you said, the evolution of where we are now, I mean, it's not just the evolution of necessarily the podcast and its content and the kind of the direction we've gone. There's an evolution in our relationship, not just in the lifestyle, but, you know, in general,
right,
but certainly in the lifestyle, which we're going to talk about today. Our lifestyle has, our relationship as it pertains to our lifestyle has really morphed and grown exponentially based on a lot of components, not the least of which is this podcast.
Right.
So we are definitely going to be, I don't want to say more measured, but certainly we give things a lot more thought. I mean, we used to just jump on and just start, you know, talking and recording and without giving a single thought to what we were really saying.
Well, because back then we had hardly any listeners. And I think for us, it felt like, okay, whatever, there's, you know, 50 people listening to us in states far away from ours. And like, who the fuck really cares?
Well, our state was like, it's like the one of the least listened to is one of our state.
Until very recently. But my point is, we didn't think about any sort of like consequences or about, you know, people's feelings getting hurt. Listen, we've lost friends over things that have been said on the podcast.
We have.
And, you know, I have very mixed feelings about that. Part of me feels like, fuck, I never want to hurt anyone. I never want to make anyone feel bad. And the fact that we did, especially in the beginning, makes me feel bad. But the flip side of that is when we started this podcast, we promised each other and our listeners that we would talk about the good and the bad.
Yeah.
And we would be 100% real and honest with things. And the reason that we wanted to do that was because we wanted people to feel like they were coming on a lifestyle journey with us. And the lifestyle is not all fucking daisies and rainbows.
No, absolutely not. And let me say this, back to what you just said, we did lose some friends, a couple in particular, but that wasn't entirely due to our podcast. There were other extraneous circumstances there, really out of our control. We attempted to rectify and to make all of that right, but it just isn't something that's going to work out. We're just very different people, all of us in general. So some of it stemmed from the podcast, obviously, but that is not the main reason we are no longer friends with some of these people. So unfortunately.
Yeah. But I mean, either way, I guess what I'm saying is I hope that people listen to especially the early episodes with a grain of salt.
Well, yeah, listen, we started this thing. We weren't expecting anybody to listen to us.
Right.
I mean, even, you know, if
we never expected this.
If you had told us at episode 2 that we were going to be where we are, like in terms of downloads, daily, weekly, monthly, I mean, I would never would have believed it in such a short period of time. In 6 months, literally April 1st was our 6-month period. I mean, it's hard to believe you know, where we are and the things that have, you know, how it's evolved. So if you had said, oh, this is going to matter in 6 months, I'd have been like, get out of here. You're full of shit.
Whatever.
No one listens to this bullshit.
Totally.
Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah. You know? And now it's becoming something. It's becoming, you know.
So, you know, and it's really becoming something locally, which we, it's really the last like factor for us, right? We again, our faces are out there. Our names are out there. We do blogs and podcasts and interviews and all that
vlogs,
stuff.
Vlogs. Yeah.
Vlogs. We're a video. Yeah. But the one thing we don't talk about or haven't talked about is really where we live. And now that's becoming a thing because people are recognizing us and noticing us. And so the truth is, since this whole kind of source of information started based on, you know, some of the events that, that were taking place in our hometown and our state, our downloads in our state have like quadrupled.
Yeah.
Which is weird because we didn't have a lot of downloads in our own state.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's kind of interesting. It's an interesting evolution.
It sure is.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think if nothing else, though, it will hopefully make some of the people locally feel like they have a little bit of a voice because
for sure.
A lot of the other...
we have to figure that out.
A lot of the other podcasters out there, a lot of the other people that are, you know, in this sphere talking about the non-monogamy lifestyle mm-hmm. are in these giant cities and they're constantly talking about clubs and they're constantly talking about the resorts that they're going to mm-hmm. and all of those different things. Like, we're just this not normal couple, but you know, seemingly normal couple living in a tiny ass town. Like, we're not heading to the swingers club every Friday night.
No, because the swingers club is states away.
Right.
So,
but you know what I'm saying? Like, I think people can relate to that. And I hope people in our own state can too.
I think they will. And I think, again, you know, part of why we decided to go to the event next month, which will be held by the same group of people that we have talked about before. Not great experiences, not the worst experiences, but certainly not great experiences.
Well, one of them was horrible.
But one was pretty bad. But we are going, well, predominantly because of the venue. We've talked about this before.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like, it wasn't because the parties were bad because, you know, the host just didn't do enough or didn't try or didn't, you know, put forth any effort or, you know, those parties got progressively better in terms of controllables with the exception of the venue.
Yeah.
And that has changed now. So we're going to take a look and we'll talk more about that obviously in later podcasts. But my point of this is, I think we have to go. The onus of responsibility is on us to attend that party so that we can talk about it cogently and intelligently as a couple who has already been to 3 prior events, and now we can give you some insight into how they really have evolved. And it's on us because we're local. If we want this thing to succeed, we have to attend.
Right.
If we don't show up, it's, you know, it's kind of like if you don't show up, then you can't say anything.
Right.
You know, you have no voice in this. So I think it's important that we do that. And I'm excited. I think it's going to be better. The other good news is because there's another game in town, seemingly another game coming to town. You got another group coming in.
Yep.
They do it right from what we can tell. And we've had some correspondence with them. They're super great, nice people. And they get it, obviously. That's great. Competition is great.
Yeah.
Because all it's going to do is it's just going to, you know, water seeks its own level. It's going to rise.
Yeah.
You know, and that's great for all of us.
I agree.
You know, I think that's going to be really good.
We'll see. It's going to be an interesting next few weeks. Like
the next 30 days are going to be really, very telling.
It's going to be fun, but it's going to be, there's definitely some navigating we have to do. So
for sure. We're going to figure it out. We're going to share it with our listeners. And listen, we have some amazing listenership. There are folks coming to this event in Denver that we're going to that have been listening since day one. As a matter of fact, we're going to meet the very first couple that joined our community.
Yeah.
I am super excited about that.
I am too.
Yeah, that's going to be really cool. I'm looking forward to it. And listen, not to mention locally, we have now been contacted by some folks locally. And when we say locally, you know, 2.5-3 hours away from our hometown. And they seem like great people. These are people we would not have really probably connected with were it not for the fact that the information about where we are came out.
Yeah, about the podcast.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's really something to be said for that. I'm very excited about it.
It's also kind of strange because people, I think, feel like they know us from the podcast. And I mean, in some ways they do because we just fucking like lay it out all on the table.
Yeah, for sure.
But they kind of have the upper hand on us because nothing about them and they know
kinda,
like everything about us.
Yeah, we kind of like have an idea of what they look like. I mean, I'm sure there's a few of these folks, if we see them, I'll know them right away. Like the couple that just emailed us, they're very distinctive.
Yeah.
You know, great people. They live not too far from us. They seem very, very cool. So we know them right away. But for the most part, people can come up to us and be like, oh, hey, you're Brian and Brenna. And it's happened before. And we're like, oh, you're...
It happened in Vegas at a party with like 500 people.
Yes. Yes, 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 it did. So
that's because you're super distinct. I guess maybe us together.
Together we are.
We're absolutely very distinct.
Yeah, together for sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm excited about it. I think it's great.
I am too.
Yeah, we'll see where the next evolution takes us.
Holy fuck. Either way, it'll be good content. You guys will benefit no matter what.
Yeah, listeners are going to benefit. Whether it's awesome or train wreck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it'll be great. Yeah.
So what are we sharing some sexy shit today?
Yeah. You know, I think we talked very briefly about this. And once again, we don't take notes before we do this. We just kind of jump right in.
In case you can't tell.
Yeah. In case you couldn't tell by how structured we are. You know, I think we need to talk about an interaction that you had recently with your play partner, Clint. I think it lends itself to what you just said a little while ago about how we have evolved.
Right.
And how our relationship has evolved and how we have, you know, listen, we started out, we had hard rules just like everybody else has hard rules.
Hard rules. You have to be there. You have to be, you know, present.
We both have to be together, playing in the same room. All of the things that I think that a lot of people start out with. Although we did start out with you playing with a single guy, which isn't necessarily the norm, but we did have a lot of hard and fast rules. And we thought, well, this is just the way it's going to be.
Yep.
Well, as time has gone on, we have realized that all of that shit is out the window because we realize that we are driven by different things. Like, you know, the intensity is driven by different things of our personal sexuality. And now what's happened is we have gone really, when it comes to you playing with your playmate, your regular playmate, and we've talked about Clint before, obviously, that relationship is going in the right direction. The whole thing works really well synergistically between all of us.
Right.
We all just went and met, had a drink last weekend over brunch and
it was
really
great.
Enjoyed
it. It was
that.
Super easy.
Great
it
time.
Was no awkwardness.
No, not at all. And it's going in the right direction. So you have really evolved in that, in your own personal space.
Yeah, let's dissect that a little bit, though, because you just mentioned, like, your personal sexuality and the things that, like, turn you on has evolved as you've, you know, as we have played more in the lifestyle.
Yeah.
What is it about me being completely away from you with Clint that gets you so excited?
Well, to begin with,
because you're not seeing it for yourself, so it's not like a live-action porn anymore.
No. I'm not seeing it. There's no pictures. There's none of that. It's now it has become a thing where, because there's a level of comfort, obviously, with the situation. But really, it's your interest, how excited you are about the whole experience and how into it you are. And you know, then it's a trust thing, right? We have a level of trust, I think, that very, very few people can understand, particularly those not in the lifestyle. You know, you are at our home while I'm at work.
In our bed.
In our bed with your playmate.
Right.
And you'll text me, hey, Clint's on his way, or Clint just got here, and I'll shoot you a text message. Okay, you know, just text me when you're done or whatever, because I'm at work. And this one particular time, like last week, I was going to try to come home. We were going to try to play all of us together.
Right.
I couldn't make it happen. I was just too busy. So you were all alone by yourself all afternoon.
Right.
And time gets away from me. I'm working. Of course, I'm thinking constantly about what you're doing and what you're up to.
Right.
But, you know, not because I'm concerned, but because I'm turned on by it. And so by the time you do reach back out to me a couple hours later, like I'm all worked up, you know? So it's usually a text and then before and a text after, and that's all I get. So no more pictures, no more anything. It's all my imagination.
Yeah.
And
do you think it's like a healthy level of anxiety that's being created, like a sexual anxiety?
Oh yeah. By the time I get home, it's like, we're just so amped
up. Bursting at the seams.
Yeah. I think it's, not only do I think it's healthy, it's a really healthy, visceral reaction.
Because it's not jealousy, to be clear.
Oh, no. Like I said before, the only thing I'm jealous about is that I'm not there watching or participating, you know? Like,
well,
I'm jealous of Clint. Like, why am I not there?
Right.
Yeah, I was going to try. Yeah,
point is, like, we could choose to still play that way, but we've chosen not to specifically because you like that level of anxiety.
Yeah, it's an anticipatory thing. You know, it builds up. It's pressure. You know, that pressure builds and builds and builds. And by the time I get home and you and I are together, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, and what happened is this particular time we're going to talk about, when I got home, we couldn't just jump into bed. We had some stuff that had to get done.
Yeah. And that was tough.
So it was several hours before we actually had that reconnecting kind of aftercare sexual connection, which was, I mean, it was tough.
And we'll talk about that because I think it was a little bit different this time.
Very
because
different.
Because of that.
Well, it was different for a lot of reasons. Because, we'll talk about this, but this also lends itself to that trust and intimacy, you know, the communication, all of those things really lent itself to this particular interaction being very special.
Right.
For multiple reasons.
Well, okay, so I'll say the reason I'm most turned on by playing with Clint is because in a lot of ways I feel like the center of attention.
Sure.
So I get the center of attention from you all the time. You dote on me and you, you know, obviously love me and show me that. But you're also like very, I can tell you're very sexually into me. And the idea of like another hot, awesome dude also being super sexually into me fucking drives me crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's selfish or not, but that's definitely the way I've been thinking about it lately.
No, for me, again, you know, going back to the things that make it really work for me, it's not, it's the trust, it's the communication, it's the anticipatory buildup, but really it's your evolution. As I originally intimated, you have grown in this role,
mm-hmm.
you know, where we were very, very new in the lifestyle. You didn't want me to be too far away.
Yeah.
You know,
you're like my security blanket.
Right. And you wanted to put on that show for me.
Yep.
And, you know, and now it's gotten to the point where you put on a show that I'm not able to even see.
Right.
And you take all the bits and pieces from it and mm-hmm. share that with me later and kind of recreate that. But you've also become far more confident in this lifestyle.
Absolutely. I've become much more sexually confident.
100%.
Which I think also bleeds into your and my sex.
Oh, no, it absolutely does. And not that our sex was ever, you know, inhibited in any way by anything prior, but you have definitely gotten to the point where you are completely open 100% when it comes to anything that we're doing.
Well, and I'm eager. Also, yeah, I'm more able to ask for what I want from you or tell you what I need from you too. Like before it was always like, okay, I'm just going to go into this with this like submissive energy and we're going to have sex and like, it's going to be hot because it's always hot.
Right.
But you know, like there'd be things in the back of my mind of like, oh, it'd be cool if we did this or cool if we did that. But I wasn't always verbalizing it.
Well, like
now I verbalize it always.
Well, like last night. We were having amazingly hot sex.
Yeah.
And I was pulling your hair, but you wanted me to choke you. So you took my hand off your head and put it around your neck.
Yeah. I never would have done that
before. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't sound like a big deal probably to a lot of folks, but it is when you talk about the, you know, the top bottom relationship, the sub dom relationship. That's a big deal.
Right. Are you okay with it morphing into that?
Yeah. I think that, you know, by doing that, it allows me to understand kind of where you are a little bit better. And, you know, mentally where your head is at that moment. And then that kind of, you know, by you doing that, because choking you is a more aggressive act than simply pulling your hair. And I think I was squeezing your ass at the same time or something.
Right.
But by you putting my hands around your neck, that tells me I've got to put my foot on the gas a little bit.
Right.
We got to go a little bit harder.
Right. So, I need something more.
Yeah,
give it to me.
That's yeah. Yeah. That's it. I mean, yeah, that's totally. Really what it is. You know, you need more cowbell. That's what you got.
More cowbell. Yeah.
So it worked out really well.
Got a fever.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So yeah, that's great.
Prescription is choking me.
The prescription is not being able to breathe. That's right. Yeah. Hard fucking and not breathing. That's
yeah,
what I'm
yeah.
talking about. So yeah, I mean, that kind of communication,
yeah.
you know, words aren't spoken. You weren't saying anything.
Right.
You know, we weren't there were no words,
right.
you know, and that makes the most sense.
I fucking love that.
Yeah.
And I think it's amazing.
That's what all, I mean, that's what all of this, you know, this whole journey has really done, I think, is among a lot of other things, obviously, the key is that it's really intensified our sexual relationship.
Right.
Or relationship in general, but certainly our sex is far beyond anything I would have imagined.
Yeah, me too. It's crazy.
So, yeah, it's great.
I didn't even know I had the capacity for this. We've talked about that many times.
No,
but the level of sexual intimacy and sexual just connectedness that we have, well, I didn't even know that it was possible before I was with you.
Well, and it's a hunger. We have sex every day.
Oh, I want
I know people
you
think that's
all
a joke.
The time.
Every day, unless one of us is sick or for whatever reason out of town, it is every single day, most of the time more than once a day, every day.
Yeah.
So it's nothing other than us being super connected to one another.
Well, and you're super fucking hot and I just want you.
Well, no, that's kind of silly, but
it's not.
You know, it just is that, it's that energy, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what it is. Yeah. So let's talk about why this was so important, this particular interaction.
So this one was really interesting because I will say that I hated something that happened during this interaction before I got with you, and you really taught me to love it.
Yeah.
And then giving it also to Clint was kind of a big deal. So we're going to get into that.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. So let's talk a little bit about what it is that you just were not into.
Like, should I just say it?
Yeah.
Okay. Anal sex.
Well, you were into it. you had a terrible experience and then you were no longer okay with it.
Well, to be honest, I had kind of a traumatic experience.
Yeah, it was a terrible experience. Yeah.
Yeah. And it, I mean, like a very painful experience that left me thinking like, I'm just never going to do this ever again.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so, and I mean, it was a while in between that traumatic experience and when you and I first had anal sex, because probably, I mean, how long did it take into our relationship?
We were together every bit of 6 months, probably maybe more.
Maybe more than that. I mean, it was a long time. And we had kind of talked about it, but I told you why I wasn't into anal sex.
And of course, we never...
And you didn't press it. You didn't want to, you know...
I waited for you to bring it up again. I never...
And I finally did. I was like, you know, I think I obviously trusted you emphatically. And I told you, I think that I want to give this part of myself to you. And to me, it was like just another way to be connected to you sexually.
Right. It was just another, an additional component to, you know, what we were already experiencing. But I let you bring that up. I never pursued it again.
Yeah.
It wasn't something I was going to, you know, going to try to push on you in any way.
Right.
You know, and you needed to be comfortable with that. And it wasn't a big deal until you brought it up.
Yeah, but I think even after I brought it up, we didn't talk. I mean, we talked about it many more times before we actually did it.
Yeah, there was a little play, you know, a little anal play, but never penetration.
Right.
And it was a lot longer. I mean, maybe 8-9 months.
Yeah.
Before we actually had anal sex.
So what was that like the first time, knowing like how much of a like buildup it had been and how nervous I was about the whole thing.
Yeah, more than anything, I was concerned about your level of comfort. So that was weighing on my mind. I wanted it to not be a traumatic experience for you.
Yeah.
And I really wasn't 100% on board until it became very obvious that you were really enjoying it. And by obvious, by enjoying it, you came while I was in you anally.
Yeah.
Which told me that, okay, this totally works for her. It just has to be, it has to be administered properly.
Right. You know? And I think a lot of women have had experience, not women, just women either, but I mean, men too.
Sure.
Of, you know, being penetrated anally and it being either super painful because the person doesn't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Or they haven't prepped themselves. And so it's like this mental block after that first horrible time of like, well, fuck it, anal's just not for me.
Right. And it's like, like anything else, like we talk about in the BDSM world, whether you're paddling someone properly or caning someone properly. If somebody has a terrible experience the first time out, chances are, you know, it's like eating Brussels sprouts. If somebody didn't prepare them properly, you're not going to eat them again.
Yeah.
You know,
it tastes like butthole.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, having anal sex is one of those things. And, you know, that was my biggest concern for you. But once I realized that by my penetrating you anally, you had multiple orgasms.
Yeah.
I knew, okay, this just has to be something that we not only layer into our sexual relationship, it's got to be administered
in the right way. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but I mean, now one of my absolute favorite things in the world is touching my clit while you're fucking my ass.
Well, we have anal sex like at least once a week, maybe more
now. I love it. It's now that I'm doing it with someone who's mindful of how it feels, and also I've learned that I need to put a plug in first.
I can't just go
straight into anal sex.
No, I mean,
it takes a little bit of preparation on my part.
Right.
So, and you and I become very good at communicating, and usually it's pretty sexy, like, hey, maybe tonight you should fuck my ass. And you're like, okay,
like a little text message I'll get.
Make sure you put a plug in before.
Yeah, like a picture of the anal plug on the nightstand. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so it's like playful, but we're still communicating with each other, like,
this
is what's going to happen tonight so that we can both be prepared for it.
Well, and then of course the reverse of that is like, you know, we would have more anal sex, but like you're sore.
Oh my God,
Like last night, you're like, you said something kind of, you know, sexy and sweet, like, you know, let's go upstairs so you can, you know, fuck me really hard, but maybe not my ass. So, because you were sore from the night before.
Yeah, it can't be every day.
Yeah, I can't do it every day. But, you know, obviously we've evolved. Once again, it was an evolution. But this particular experience with Clint was very different because you and I talked about you potentially giving your ass to him at some point. And you didn't. You hadn't done that. You guys had talked about it and played with it a little bit, but it never happened. And then you and I didn't discuss it at all prior to you meeting him on your last play date.
Right. Well, and he and I had like a little discussion about like the whole anal thing. And I think he listened to our episode where we talked about that.
For sure.
But I didn't communicate to him how big of a deal that was for me to like have him fuck my ass.
Right.
Because to me, it's like at that point, you should know that I trust you emphatically.
Right.
And that, you know, that I want you to have that part of my body, you know, that intimate part of me.
Right.
So, I mean, I kind of now wish that I would have had that conversation with him, but it was also really sexy to like just go right into that with him.
For sure.
So am I going to talk about it? Okay. So I won't bore you with all the details. We sat downstairs. We talked a little bit. We touched a little bit. We kissed a little bit. We came upstairs. This is when it gets sexy. He put a collar on me.
Right.
Which was interesting because obviously he's not quote unquote collaring me like in the BDSM world.
It was one of our collars that we use, obviously.
But you are the only person that has collared me.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
So has ever put a collar on me. Right. So that was, it was kind of a little bit of a mind fuck for me.
Right.
But you know, I got past that and he tied my, so he had me lay on my back on the bed and he tied my legs up. He took some rope and he put it, he did like a figure eight almost with my ankles and then tied my legs and then actually tied my legs to the collar on my neck. So it was like my legs were suspended and they had to be because the rope was tight enough that my legs had to be up.
Right.
And so we started out like that and he was, you know, kind of, then he went around to the edge of the bed where my head was at and stuck his cock in my mouth and like choked me with his cock and he was fingering me at the same time that he was doing that, which was really fantastic.
Yeah.
And made me choke on his cock and, you know, I had drool going all over the place. Once again, didn't give a fuck because it was just so fucking hot. And then he came around and started fingering me. So he came around to where like my legs were more on the bed and started fingering me harder, made me come really hard. And then I had a plug in my ass.
Right.
And he had me lay on my side and he took the plug out, put a condom on, lubed himself up and started fucking my ass.
And what was the conversation? Was there a conversation?
There was not a conversation.
You just went, he just took the plug out. Obviously the plug was there. It was an invitation.
Yep.
You know, so you just rolled with it.
I think for him it was like, okay, this is the green light. You know, like he obviously saw it.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is the green light that picking I needed to know that I could, that, you know, he could fuck my ass.
Now, in all fairness, though, you did wear a plug before. You've had a plug in before with him and he did fuck you while you wore the plug.
Well, he put it in. I didn't have it.
So there has been some of that play. But now, like, you put it in. It was there when he got there. You were wearing it already. So he kind of knew that that door, like, you know, was open figuratively.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, you know.
Yeah, and it was nice because he is very mindful, and I talked about this when I talked about him playing with my ass with a toy. He's very mindful of like slow entry and not just shoving things in, which is always my concern with a new partner.
Right.
Period. That like they're not going to be mindful of how my body works.
Yeah.
And he was very mindful of it. He really lubed it up. He really lubed my ass up and really like slowly entered me. But it was super hot because I was still completely tied up. I was basically immobilized.
Right.
So in some ways it was like he just had complete control over my body and of my ass in that moment.
Of course.
And so I'm laying on my side, I'm all tied up, and he's entering me, and it starts out pretty kind of slow and methodical, which was nice. He was kind of warming me up. Mm-hmm. And then as he got more comfortable, as he could tell I was liking it because I started moaning.
Sure.
He just started fucking me harder and harder and harder. And by the end of it, I mean, he was like slamming his cock into my ass.
Well, which is, I mean, obviously now you like it. I mean, that's your thing. It's as enjoyable to you as anything. So the fact that he was able to, you know, ease himself into that situation and then read the cues.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, that's really the most important thing is him being able to read you.
Well, yeah, he has a great sexual IQ. So he just totally understands that, like, if something's working for me, keep going.
Right.
And if it doesn't work for me, I will let you know, even if it's not like a, you know, stop. Like, there's very few times when I'm like, stop, don't do that. You know,
red. Yeah, red alert.
Safe word.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, he is very mindful of my body cues and my sounds, especially. Like,
for sure.
I can tell when he's like really grabbing onto me or the couple of times that he's like paddled me or whipped me or anything like that. He can tell. I make like a high pitch, like squeaky noise when it starts to really hurt. You know this.
Right.
And so he'll back off. And so he kind of did the same thing with, you know, fucking my ass.
Sure.
And I loved it. And he made me come really hard.
Yeah.
And I came for a while. And I think, do I usually do this? Like, do I come harder from anal? Not necessarily harder, but maybe longer.
Yeah, it's different for sure. Yeah. Kind of like when you have an orgasm, like when you're riding me.
Yeah.
That's a longer orgasm than normal. You know what
I mean? I think it's also partially because like it takes me longer to come with anal, obviously.
Yeah, it's a build up.
Because I have to kind of like squeeze in the right places, and I have to kind of be like, I have to have some level of clitoral stimulation, even if it's just like rubbing my legs together.
So that's the thing. Like when you and I, like when we have anal sex, sometimes I'll use like the suction cup dildo I used last time. So I penetrated you with that. And I was fucking you anally. And that's when it's almost hard to control your body movement when you're having, like, you almost pushed us off the bed.
It's explosive.
The last time. Yeah. So it was really fucking hot.
Yeah. So he fucked me hard. I came, and then he came, but it was this, I thought for a second that he was laughing at me. And then I realized that he was coming.
How funny.
And it was really hot because he was making this like weird throat noise. That's why I thought he was laughing at me.
Yeah, just a primal sound.
It was just such a while he was coming, it was so hot. Because to me, it was like he had been lost in that moment too. I could tell.
Well, for sure. I can only imagine. Of course, he and I haven't talked about it, but I can only imagine he must have, you know, there must have been some cautiousness, obviously, on his part. He was definitely, you know, had some concern, and, you know, it's the first time and didn't want to overstep, didn't want to hurt you, obviously, wanted to be mindful and respectful of all those whatever boundaries you guys had set. So I'm sure there was a part of him that was kind of thinking in the back of his mind all of those things. He didn't want to overstep,
right?
And so he was concentrating, and which is probably why he maybe lost himself in that moment.
Yeah, he did. Well, I love that he did, because it was hot to me. So he came super hard, and then he just stayed inside me for a while.
Yeah,
and we just kind of laid there, and it was really interesting because it was emotional for me.
Sure.
I got emotional in that moment. And so he came, you know, he came, and then he pulled himself out of me, and he was kind of just standing there like collecting himself. And I was like lost in my thoughts for a second there.
Yeah.
So I wasn't talking to him. I wasn't making any noise. I was still tied up. So I'm just laying there immobilized. Right. And he was like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm great." But it was definitely, it was a mind fuck for me, because it was like, it was a lot of things like all coming together at the same time. It was the fact that like, I had never done that with anyone but you since we've been together. I have only done it with now you and him in the last, you know, several years at this point.
Right.
You know, so all of those different things were kind of like culminated into this like kind of emotional moment for me. It was very strange. I'm not used to that.
Well, I could tell there was something different. Of course, you didn't tell me. Normally you'll text me, like when he leaves, you guys are done and you're, you know, kind of doing your thing, but you called me and you didn't text me.
Right.
And I could tell like the sound of your voice, like there was something going on. Not that it was not necessarily in a bad way.
Right.
You were really kind of demure and submissive on the phone and, you know, very sweet. And I said, "Listen, I'm just going to try to get home, you know, as soon as I can." I was hoping to get home early that day. It never didn't seem to pan out. But I thought it was a little odd that you had called me instead of texting me.
Yeah.
And it never occurred to me that that's what was happening. Of course, I had no indication.
Right. Because we didn't tell you that was going to happen.
And you didn't tell me. We didn't talk about it when I got home either. It wasn't until we were literally in bed together.
Well, here's the thing. I went back and forth with it because part of me wanted to tell you about it right away because it was emotional for me, and I wanted to share that part of myself with you because I want to share every part of myself with you. But then the other part of me was like, well, how sexy will it be when we're in bed together to like give it, you know, give him that surprise. Like, and I talked about this in a previous episode, but I love telling you about new things that I do, like with Clint especially, because this look you get on your face when I tell you is just like, you're so fucking turned on.
Well, and when you told me, I think you were like, you were on top of me when you told me.
Yeah.
When you started telling me, like reenacting the story for me. And it took me a second, because he was fucking your pussy for a little, like short period of time. And you said something to me like, I don't remember exactly what the conversation was, but you mentioned, he's like, yeah, he fucked my pussy for like 10 minutes. I was like, huh? And then you went and explained it to
me. Yeah, you're like, did he take that pussy for a long time today? And I was like, no, like 10 minutes. And you're like, what?
Yeah, I didn't.
You only had 10 minutes of sex today?
Yeah, I didn't catch it at all.
Yeah.
You know, and then when you told me, I was like, wow, that's unfucking believable. It was so hot. Because, I mean, we were already having sex.
Yeah.
You know?
You were turned on by that?
Yeah, it was so incredible. Because I didn't expect it. It was totally unexpected.
Yeah.
You know, we did not discuss it either before or directly after.
Could you tell that my energy was different when you got home that day?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You were definitely, you know, and you always are more demure after a session with someone. So yeah, and you always need to be near me and have to be, you know, touching me and you know, real close,
emotionally needy.
Yeah, but certainly that was very, it was even intensified that particular day.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, yeah, then you got home. And we, like we said, it was hours in between when we got home and when we actually had sex. Because, like, we had to go to the gym. We hadn't gone in a day or two. So, yeah. We're like, we have to fucking go to the gym. And then we had some stuff to do for the podcast. Yep. And just, like, all of, you know, business shit to take care of. So, like, we couldn't jump right into it because we had, like, timelines for everything.
Yeah.
So, we had to wait until, like, 10 o'clock at night until you finally had sex with me.
Yeah.
Which was weird because...
Like, it was, like, 9 hours.
Well, it's different because, like, when I was in, you know, Phoenix with Fred Freddy having sex.
Yeah, there
sex,
was nothing we could do. Yeah.
It was like, you have to wait because you have no choice. And right. At this time, it was still like we had no choice because we had shit to do. But we were next to each other the entire time. And I was touching you the whole time. And I was, like, kissing you. Even when we were at the gym, I, like, came up and was, like, giving you pecks on the cheek and shit. And, like, so it was really different.
Very different. It was definitely, I could tell there was an emotional need there. And, of course, I didn't know why 100% other than the norm. But it was definitely increased for sure.
Yeah.
You know, that need was increased.
Were you questioning that?
No. I just thought it was, you know, just because there was so much time lapsed.
Yeah.
In between the time we, you know, you had had sex and we were able to get together. So I thought maybe that's probably what it is. You know, it's just building up.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. You're becoming more needy as time is going on.
Right.
You know, that type of stuff. But I had no idea. It was so fucking amazing. I had no clue.
Yeah. And I think our sex that night was not necessarily as rough as it usually is. I think that... I mean, it was aggressive because it's always aggressive. But what I remember from that night is needing to feel like emotionally connected to you.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of our sex was that way, even though you did fuck my ass.
Well, I did. But I did not do it for long because I was, again, instinctively, I was thinking she's going to be uncomfortable. This is not going to be able to, I won't be able to sustain this.
Right.
So we did. We did have anal sex for a little while. You came and then I quickly... I stopped, got myself cleaned up, and then I got back into bed, and then we didn't do anal again that night,
for
like a few days because you were super sore.
Yeah.
But I knew you would be, so I didn't want to. I wasn't trying to, you know, to push that, obviously. But it was hot as it always is, and we had sex for quite a while, but it was very much less aggro than it normally is.
Yes, it was. Sure. It was more connected, which I really liked.
Yeah. So for sure.
It was an interesting experience. It was a great experience. It was super fucking hot. And I loved being able... I really did like that you and I had anal sex that night because to me it was like I'd given myself part of myself to Clint temporarily.
Right.
And you and I having anal sex again that night was like me showing you like you have all of me. You know,
It was a reclaiming kind of thing, reconnective type thing.
Yeah.
But the idea that... You're able to share yourself in that way with someone, have the confidence to do it, and then you and I get back together that evening and we talk about all of the details. I mean, we discussed it all. We replayed all of it, and still having the confidence to share it, you know, that's a big deal. That's a super turn on. I think there's a lot of folks that would maybe can't wrap their heads around that, but can certainly benefit from it.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you know, I mean, it really does put you in a different space mentally.
Well, it also, to me, you know, giving my ass to Clint temporarily was a showing of trust to him. But more so even than that was... a showing to me, it was like I knew that you trusted me enough to make those decisions without us having to talk about them in advance. And like, I already know what you're going to be comfortable with and what you're not going to be comfortable with because we have that amount of trust with each other. And we've communicated, you know, an immense amount about all of these different things that like I felt comfortable enough having your trust to go and make that decision on my own.
Yeah. We had talked about all of those components prior, you know, weeks prior. So it wasn't like something that was completely out of the blue. But we already talked about it. So you knew that all of those, you know, whatever options were available to you, that you knew they were on the table.
Right.
You know, so it wasn't going to be
But I wasn't sitting there questioning like, oh, is Brian going to be pissed that we didn't talk about this today? Or like, what if he fucks my ass really hard? Is Brian going to be okay with that? Like,
we're just at
a point, I guess, in our swinger evolution, our non-monogamy evolution at this point that I feel comfortable knowing what it is you're going to be comfortable with and what you're not. And I 100% stay within those boundaries. There's very few of them, to be honest.
Very few at this point.
But I know that I can go out and make those decisions and it can be a sexy experience separate from you. I can share it with you afterwards and I'm not going to be met with any sort of like anger or judgment or anything.
No, and that's the interesting thing. There is an evolution going on here. You know, we have been doing this a while now. We've been in contact with a lot of people. And it's interesting when we hear from people about where their boundaries are and they didn't even know they had boundaries.
Right.
Jealousy kicks in
Yep.
where, you know, there was a situation that took place you know, either the couple was together or separate, they came back together, or someone, the husband or wife, witnessed something that they didn't care for,
right,
or something was told to them that they didn't care for and got jealous about it. You know, I always find that interesting because I think, wow, those are conversations I would have thought you would have had.
Yeah, you know? But I also think it's only fair to assume that those types of things are going to pop up. Like, we've talked about this before. You think that you know how you're going to feel about a situation, sure, and then when it actually happens, it's completely different.
Yeah.
It's like your mental and your emotional needs are two very different things,
yeah,
when you're talking about them versus when they're actually happening.
Yeah, well, we talk about that because there are some things that you obviously, I mean, you've seen me with other women, but you haven't seen me with another woman without their significant other present, or, you know, that kind of thing. It hasn't been me and a single gal yet.
Right.
So you want that. You want to see that. You don't know necessarily how all that's going to feel. So,
no, I assume it's going to be super hot, but it, right, could not be. I could be, right, I could have a jealousy streak. I don't know. I certainly don't think so.
But that's really the only, I think the only piece of the puzzle for us that we haven't explored or experienced. Yeah. So that's really the only outlier. I don't think there's anything that could make me, you know, give me that feeling of, oh, I really regret her allowing him to do that, or not her doing that, or wanting to do that. I just don't think that doesn't exist at this point.
Well, I think that we're past all of that.
Yeah, we've evolved way past that.
Yeah.
You know, so really, that's really the only question is how that single gal interaction affects you. But
are you concerned about that?
No, I'm not terribly concerned about it. I'm more concerned about it even being a thing at this point because of how, you know, we're kind of, you know, what our situation has been thusly with
single gals. You're a little gun shy.
Yeah. I'm not feeling super awesome about it. But I like where our, you know, where we are now in this process. I mean, it couldn't be any better, I don't think. I mean, in terms of where we started and where we are and how things have gone, we've been really fortunate. We've had some amazing experiences.
Yeah, I also think that we owe Clint a huge thank you.
Well, for sure.
Because I mean, as much as he's like getting to come over here and fuck me, and that's probably good for him too, like his presence in our dynamic has been so fucking positive.
Well, I think that's something that a lot of people miss, and I really want to stress that and caution people when they talk to us. They ask me, listen, we get emails all the time about the hot wife situation, about that single guy interaction. And the one thing I will say is that when you find the right chemistry with someone like you have, what it's done for us is really hard to explain.
Yeah.
How it's really helped us. It's elevated us. It's propelled us.
Right.
And to make someone understand that's very difficult. And, you know, I caution people because if you're really not looking for that in a single guy, you got to be careful when you're, you know, playing in this space.
Yeah.
You know, and if you are looking for that, you've got to be very specific and plan to spend some time trying to find that person, because we did.
Yeah. You have to be selective for sure.
I mean, you've got to have your ducks in a row, man. You've got to know, you know, which boxes to check, and you've got to be prepared to, you know, to be disappointed along the way until you find that one person. But this seems to be the ideal situation for us.
It's been great. Yep. I'm really happy with it.
Yeah.
So the next episode will be after Denver.
Yes, it will.
So I'm hoping that we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
I am certainly not presuming that we're going to like bang anyone in Denver, but no, it'd be really cool if we did.
Yeah. Listen, we have a lot of potential opportunity, I think.
Well, we have a date on Thursday.
We do. It's super hot. I'm super excited about that.
And then we have our party Friday night, which, yep, and we have an Airbnb like right down the street. So it'd, yep, be super easy to bring home a hot couple if we click with anyone.
Yeah, for sure. Or two couples.
And
or
then
whatever.
Saturday at the ranch is like, who the fuck knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's just like a buffet of goodness. So you just don't know what's going to happen. But it should be a very sexy, fun-filled weekend. And we'll have a lot to talk about come that Sunday or Monday, actually, when we record. Chances are we're going to have a couple of episodes out of that because we're just not going to be able to fit it all in.
I certainly hope so.
But we're going to share it all with everybody. It should be a great fucking time.
I really hope I get to see you fucking a hot chick.
Yeah,
like that would be the pinnacle of awesomeness in Denver for me. Because it's been a while. I haven't seen you fuck anyone since January.
Yeah, well, listen, once again, you know, we live in a place where it gets chilly and people don't want to play. You know, there's not a lot of dates going on. A lot of hot tub action. We had a lot of hot
tub
action.
I'm in need. I want to see you bone a hot chick.
Yeah, but I think Denver might be the recipe.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, that's the missing ingredient there, I think.
All right, so much more to come, guys. And as always, thank you so much for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
If you're anything like us, when we first started swinging, we really had no idea where to begin. And it can be really intimidating. And we have a great recommendation for you, which is to join Cassidy.com. Cassidy is a huge online platform that includes so many sexy swingers in your area, plus lots of local events to keep you up to date on all things lifestyle. And if you join Cassidy, you can find our community, Front Porch Swingers, and keep up with everything we are doing as well. So make sure you check out Cassidy.com today.